Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, we're going to go to two different passages here. We're going to verse number 11 first. We'll read from 11 through 14, and then we'll go from 21 through 24. And I'm reading today from the New King James Version, and it says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation." Oh, amen corner just walked in the door. Didn't know she was going to be here today. Come on, point it over there, Krista. That's my amen corner over there. Amen, my wife. Hallelujah. Where was I at? See, man, she comes in, just kind of gets me off my game, boy. Anyway, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, hallelujah, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God? Man, I don't know about you, but that gets a hold of me. That he gave his perfect self for my sin, that I can be reconciled with God. Because the blood of bulls and goats was not able to do so. So Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice, as the perfect blood sacrifice, and was able to redeem me. Then in verse 21, it says, "Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these things, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." Which simply is telling us that Christ's sacrifice was the ultimate. And then it said, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, make it come alive in our spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I like what one translation said in that last verse. It says, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." So I want to talk to you today about entitled, "The Blood Has a Memory." The blood of Jesus has a memory, and your blood has a memory. So I want to talk about the chemistry of the blood and how God so designed the human body in a way that realistically, if we understand how the human body works, that we can understand. And I'm no biologist or nurse or any of those things, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express. Now I did do some research but if we can understand our own bodies, then we can better understand the spiritual application of the blood of Jesus and its saving power. Because the blood of Jesus, without the blood of Jesus, man, we're just a bunch of cheerleaders still on our way to hell. But because of the blood of Jesus, he gave the sacrifice for you and I, and therefore we now have the ability to enter into heaven. So in light of things that are happening with this COVID-19 and how the subtitle of this message is that I can't see it. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Because I can't see this COVID-19. I can't see the bacteria and the virus that caused this pandemic and that has caused all of us to be in a panic and probably in many cases we should be in. I mean, I'm a hugger. I'm a handshaker. But man, it's been tough on me because that's something I've done my whole adult life. And now I'm not able to do that. And so it's been tough on me. But you, sometimes we think, and point number one, if you're taking notes and if you're following along in YouVersion, is there is an enemy that you can't see. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. You know, if we could see the virus, then we could stay away from it. Matter of fact, let me give a shout out to Stanley Steamer here locally because they came in and sanitized our whole church. And it was about a $3,000 bill that they did because they were paying their employees and wanted to do something for the community. So Stanley Steamer, thank you so much for what you did. They did every surface. They did the carpet. They did every chair. They did every hard surface. Thank you so much for your donation into our church and your donation to the community. Thank you so much. God bless you. And so there is an enemy that you can't see. And just because you can't see the virus doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And just because you can't see the devil doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. Just because you can't see how the devil slithers in and gets into your family and gets into your thought life and gets into the people in whom you love, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there and it doesn't mean it's not real. I've come by to tell you that the devil is a real thing. I've come by to tell you that the power of hell wants to destroy your life. But here's another thing that you really can't see, and that is the power of Jesus Christ. You might not can see how God can move into your life and cause and do a turnaround anointing in your life and turn things around, but I'm telling you that it's real. You might not can see it, but it is real and it is there. Before the advancement of modern medicine, the world experienced a devastating, undetectable disease that got into the bloodstream and took the lives of millions. In the 14th century, a third of Europe's population was killed by the dark plague, also known as the pneumonic or the bubonic plague. They didn't see it, but it was deadly. They couldn't see the microscopic organisms, but they could see the effects of the plague on the lives of the people and the families. You can't see the devil, but I'm telling you that he's there, and you can look into the lives of families and see who is affecting it. Is it the power of hell or the power of God? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord because I know what it is to serve the devil. I know what it is to see the effects of that plague of evil and the plague of what the devil wants to do, which is destroy me and destroy you. I've seen its effect, but I've also seen the effects of the anointing of God. I've seen the effects of heaven. I've seen the effects of God coming into my life and turning my life around and causing my family to be a good family in the name of Jesus, right? Listen, in comparison World War I took the lives of 8.5 million people. 1918, the year after the war, 25 million people died from an influenza pandemic, which is basically the first strand of the flu. And I'm telling you these things to drive a point home, and that is that just because you can't see it, good or bad, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Some of you are wanting God to show himself to you. You ain't going to be able to see God, but if you will look around in the lives of people, you can see the effect of God. You see somebody who was a wife beater but became a promise keeper. You see somebody who was bound with drugs, but now they've been set free, and now they're a part of society, and they're a good citizen of our community. I could go after each one and each one, but also let me just keep it on the down low or keep it even, because I also know people who have allowed the devil to come into their lives and cause them to turn from an anointing, turn from something that's in their life, turn from something and allow the enemy to take them down a road of destruction. You got to recognize that the devil doesn't show up with a pitchfork and horns and say, "Here I am and I'm here to wreck your life." Just like God doesn't show up many times with a halo and say, "I'm here to make your life better." But it is the presence of God. It is the power of God. It is the presence of evil. It is the power of the devil. And you've got to recognize that who's been sent by whom, and begin to realize that I'm going to allow God to have his effect in my life. Even though I can't see him, I know that he is there. Hallelujah. So we understand this. So let me go a little bit further with this thing. Even though you can't see it, there is an army inside of you that fights off diseases once they are detected. Now, even with this COVID-19, we recognize that according to statistics, that usually the people who are most affected, who are those who are unhealthy, those who are not healthy, those who are not strong in their immune system, those who have pre-existing conditions. That just sounds like the devil to me. That every time the devil finds you weak, out of church, out of fellowship, out of relationship with God, he just piles on. And some people will make it through the tough times because they're healthy enough to go through it, but some of us are not. I've got to have God in my life. I've got to have a relationship with my life, because when the devil comes knocking, I want to be found faithful. I want to be found healthy in the things of God so that I can fight off what the devil throws at me, because God has given me the power. He said his victory is my victory. So I'm going to walk in victory, not because of me, but because of him. Even though you can't see it right now in your bodies, you don't know. You know, here's what's so problematic with this COVID-19 is you can see people and you don't even know if they're infected. You don't know. They could be carriers of it. Or they could be just strong enough that they didn't get that sick, whatever the case is. But let me give it to you in layman's terms. Let me give you an overview that might help you understand. The immune system is one of nature's most fascinating inventions. And when I say nature, I'm talking about God. With ease, it protects against billions of bacteria, viruses, and other parasites. Now, most of us never reflect on the fact that while we are hanging out with our friends and watching TV and going to school, inside our bodies, our immune system is constantly on the alert, attacking the first sign of an invasion of a harmful organism. That's what our immune system does when it is good. Your fighting system inside of you is basically made up of red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets. And 25 billion white blood cells stand guard to fight on your behalf. Another 25 billion are in the reserve troops that are in the blood walls of your veins. And 25 billion white cells, white blood cells, stand guard, waiting to fight. And so when you are dealing with an intruder in your body, while you might be unaware, your blood is fighting off enemies that would try to take you down. Can I tell you that right now, sitting in your living room or wherever you might be, maybe you're at work, but wherever you may be, there is an enemy that is strategizing, trying to take you down. But we have more than just an immune system. We've got God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. And every time the devil is trying to take you down, I've come by to tell you that God is there fighting on your behalf. And you might not recognize that he's fighting for you, but he is fighting for you. Why am I still standing? Why am I still going? It's because of the anointing. It's because that God has not given up his reign on my life, and neither has he given up his reign on your life. Just know that when you don't see him, I know that he's working. Even when I don't see him working, I know that he's moving. When I don't even see him moving, that's the kind of God that I serve. Hey! Woo! I'm telling you, what if I had three more people in here? I believe I could preach. Woo! I feel this thing this morning. So your blood is fighting off your enemies. What triggers your body to make more blood? Because it's not made in your heart. The heart is just what pumps the blood through the body. Lymph nodes send a signal to the marrow of your bones that your body is under attack. Now, I could preach a little while right there. That when the Spirit of the living God begins to send a signal to your spirit and you begin to go down in prayer, all of a sudden you're releasing angels, the demons and angels, to the power of hell to fight for your behalf. You've got an army at your disposal. The bone marrow produces and releases blood cells into your body. The marrow can create 500 billion more white blood cells in 6 to 8 hours. Whew. That's just your blood system. Can I tell you that God's got he can unleash his power in just a moment. He's as close as the mention of his name. He is as close, that's how close he is. Many of these blood cells die in the fight against the intruder of the infection. That's where we get dead white blood cells. Some of these white blood cells, which fight in the battle, will live in your system that win the battle. They will live in your system for the rest of your life until you die. Those blood cells are the blood cells that fall off the diseases that you had and now you're better. Mumps, chicken pox, measles, and they have fought off. Matter of fact, that's what inoculation is. They give you a small dose, your immune system attacks it and kills it, and but some of those blood cells die in the process. Now here's what you've got to recognize. Many of the common childhood diseases that these blood cells fought, they fingerprint that disease. Now, what does that mean? Brings me to point number two. Here's another thing that's in your body called memory cells. And memory cells, these are the surviving blood cells, encode and imprint these files, so to speak, so that if I ever encounter this same disease again, my blood has a memory of how to defeat it. My blood cells have a memory of how to defeat it. Listen to me. Memory cells mean that your blood remembers what it has fought off. My God, somebody hear me. That's why the devil wants you to forget how God brought you through yesterday, how God brought you through the day before, how that God came through when you didn't even know, you didn't think that God was going to come through, but he did, because your blood remembers, and so does the blood of Jesus. Hear me, somebody. Once it defeats the enemy, they encode the secret to defeating the enemy. Now, why is that important to me as a Christian? Or why is it important to me as a non-Christian? Here's why. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying from heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down." Verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." That's why the devil don't want you to testify how you got out. The devil wants you to forget who it was that delivered you out of crime, who delivered you out of drugs, who delivered you out of alcoholism, who delivered you out of just existing and gave you a life, put some life in your life. He wants you to forget who brought your children to you. He wants you to forget who gave you your child, who gave you your spouse, who gave you your job, who gave you your mind. He wants you to forget who it was. But I'm telling you today that you need to stand up on your feet in the spirit and say, "I know in whom I have believed. I know who it was that fought my battle. This is how I fight my battle. I remember by the blood of the Lamb of God and the word of my testimony." My God. Because of the blood of the Lamb. See, the word of my testimony is that I've been saved by the blood. I'm telling you right now, you got to recognize that the enemy will come by and remind you of who you used to be. But then that's when you got to rely on the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I am saved not because I'm good. I am saved not because I can do better. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the word of my testimony. The blood of the Lamb is the one that rescued me. The blood of the Lamb is the one that set me free. It is the blood of the Lamb who brought me through and brought me out. The blood of the Lamb, it's the same as God encoding in my body to fight off the enemy of my physical body. Because of the blood of the Lamb, my spirit man is able to fight off the intruder of my soul by his blood. Woo! Right now, in this COVID-19 situation, they are trying to get the platelets of the blood from the people who fought off COVID-19 so that they can make a remedy for it, so that they can make an inoculation for it. I've come by to tell you, if you're looking for somebody that you say, "I don't believe that God can save you after that," I am a testimony of what God can do after the fact. I've got 4, 5, 6 people sitting up in here today who can tell you that if it were not for God, it was only God that brought them through. It was only God that brought them out. And the same God that brought us out is the same God that can bring you out. It's by his blood. His blood knows how to defeat the enemy in your life. Oh, Jesus. Because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb knows how to defeat the enemies of my soul. And the blood of the Lamb knows how to defeat the enemies of my spirit. The major thing. The major thing that separates Christianity from the rest of the world is that the blood of the Lamb fought and fights for us. Ah. That is the blood that remembers how to conquer the enemies of your life. There have been many wise teachers, but only one precious blood. There's been many wise preachers, but there's only one precious Lamb. There's been many great preachers, but there's only one precious blood. There have been many do-betters and self-help books, but all of that pales in comparison to the blood that was shed on Calvary for my sake and your sake. And now I know that I can live. Because he lives, I can live. Destiny is the blood that remembers how to conquer the enemies of our lives. Can I tell you, when I was doing some research, I found that there were 48 people who claimed to be the Messiah. There are many who claim to be God. Many of would-be gods have died. But there is only one who died and rose again. There's only one who died but then rose again on the third day that we just celebrated last week. And his name is Jesus. All right, let me. Point number three. Let me get done here. Get out of y'all's way. Point number, what did I do here? I have no idea. I done lost my place now. That's all right. I'm going to get it back. I ain't going to let the devil defeat me on this. Come on, devil. What you going to do? Here I am. Point number three is this. Point number three is his blood fights for you. His blood fights for you. His blood paid the price for you. When a new strand of disease comes along, scientists have to do hundreds and even thousands of tests to see how to conquer the strand. Matter of fact, the flu shot, they're taking their best guess that that strand of flu is going around today. But what happens if that strand don't come in another strand? You is as susceptible as me who don't get the flu shot. But and that's the same way we're going with this COVID. They just don't know. But however, they have to watch through microscopes and test tubes and can literally miss the whole thing by looking away for a few seconds while cells interact. Scientists would love to shrink themselves down into that environment to better understand the strand. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus stepped out of heaven onto the earth and became man just like me. And he was tempted in every way, but a man that knew no sin. Come on, somebody. He was able to defeat the powers of hell. He shrunk himself down. He came and walked among us. He came down to fight battles just like you and I fight. He walked in our diseases, in our sinful world. Yet he left his perfect environment to walk in our troubles, walk in our sicknesses, walk in our weaknesses. But John 2:16 says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, or 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's the three basic. Every sin comes under that category. Satan tempted Jesus three times while he fasted in the wilderness. Matthew 4:1-11. He said, eat this bread, lust of the flesh. But he said, but it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Come on. Then he showed him the world. He said he beat the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes. And then he said, bow down and worship me and I'll give you everything. He beat the pride of life. Jesus goes into the world to prove he had conquered sin and death. And then he was at the wedding of Canaan in Galilee. Remember? And he healed that marriage and blessed that marriage. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. Lazarus was in the tomb. He conquered death. Jairus' daughter was headed. Was healed and he healed a family. His blood remembers how to fight for you. Well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I might not, but I know a Savior who's been through whatever you're going through, and his blood, it is encoded on the blood of Jesus that his blood fights for you. 3 days of Jesus' death, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus died, he made a public spectacle of every demon. Then he ascended into hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, unlocked the doors of purgatory. Then on day two after that, he ascended into heaven and offered his blood on the altar as the high priest. And then third day, finally, he rose from the dead, conquering the last enemy of man, which is death. There's nothing that you can go through that you can say that Jesus hasn't fought this. He has fought it. His blood knows how to defeat every enemy in your life. His blood has a memory. Edward Jenner is the man who discovered the cure of smallpox. When smallpox broke loose in America, they had a way of transferring the vaccine, or they had to have a way, or they, I'm sorry, they had no way of transferring the vaccine across the ocean, because the earlier vaccine had to be applied directly to the disease. It only lasted about 10 days. So what he did is he got 15 boys. I don't want to gross you out, but this is, you read it, history. He got 15 boys who would scrape the scabs and expose the blood and transfer it to the next boy until they reached America from England. They had to share the cure with each other until they got to the other side. I've come by today to share the cure with you. I came by to, I am not the cure, but I have the cure. I came by to share the cure with you. We are all sharing the cure until we get to the other side. I'm here today to share the cure with you, and his name is Jesus. It is his blood. I can't cure you, but I can be a carrier of the cure, and his name is Jesus. All you got to do is ask Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and completely, not a little bit, completely, not almost, everything, turn it over to God, and he can start the healing process in your life. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here on Facebook and on YouTube and things like that. We're still trying to share the cure. I'm trying to give you the cure to loneliness. I'm trying to give you the cure to depression. I'm trying to give you the cure to your family crisis. It is Jesus. 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 And if you want to give your heart to Christ, or maybe you're just not where you need to be, man, and you need to make it right with God, come on, let's do it right now. Right, just call on him. He said, a broken and contrite spirit, he'll never, no wise cast aside. So right now, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and cause me to be whole. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Messiah, the Savior. Your blood fights for me. Your blood knows how to defeat every enemy of my life. And right now, I call on you and give you my everything in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Ah. Now I want to pray over you. You may say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm struggling. I want you to know that devil knows, or God knows how to defeat that struggle. You just got to let him do it. It's his blood. His blood has a memory. He knows how to defeat that area of your life. He knows how to defeat. Why? Because he defeated it in somebody else's life. He knows how to do it. So, Father, I pray right now over every person under the sound of my voice, whether it be live or whether it be somebody comes and watches a little later on. God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would touch their heart, that you would touch their mind, that you would touch their life and cause a healing to come into their lives. Physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. God, let them turn it to you who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Your blood has a memory. And I ask you to move by your purpose, move by your mercy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen and amen. We give God praise. Man, if you gave your heart to God, if you made it right with God today, come on, fill out a focus card. Let us know. It so encourages us to keep doing what we're doing. God bless you. We appreciate you.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.